You're listening to a DM podcast.
Then we started talking on Messenger, then we exchanged numbers, and then you told me that you were coming to Sydney for a few days, and I decided to book myself a room in the same hotel as you so I wouldn't have to travel up and down more times than I needed to. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new episode of Mr. A Plus. Hope everyone out there is doing well. Today, I will be discussing a rather sensitive topic known as anorexia. Admittedly, I have very little knowledge about it myself, which is why I have a lovely woman who has been there herself joining me today to talk about her journey with the disease and her recovery. In fact, I did my best to support her through it, but I wish I could have done more, and I still have something of a soft spot for her. Let's all give a warm welcome for one of my dearest and treasured friends, all the way from Perth, Australia, Sarah Maxwell.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much. Thanks for that introduction.
You're welcome.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right, to be honest.
And that's good.
How are you doing and your family?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you. It's a bit chilly here in Perth this morning, but my family, yeah, they're doing very well as well. My dad's recently retired and moved back to Perth in their nice house on the beach. And yeah, my brother, he's doing well. My mum also, so thank you for asking.
Firstly, I think I should explain to everyone, for people that have been long-time listeners of this podcast, you are the Sarah that I went on a date with in Perth. We met through my producer and we had a lovely date.
We did indeed. But yes, we've since decided to be friends. Yeah.
And I'm so glad about that.
Yes.
But listeners of this show will know that you've been in hospital recently, and I was hoping we could chat about it, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, of course, I'd love to. The more I think I can share my story and help others, I think the better. So I'd love to answer any questions you've got and just share about what I went through and the journey from here forwards, I guess. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So can you tell us about your journey living with anorexia? When did it all begin?
Well, I've got a long history. I started developing body image issues and things around when I was 15, so many years ago. But obviously things have gone up and down in that time. And then I have had various treatments throughout, a lot of outpatient things where I've seen dietitians and psychologists in the community. And I also spent 6 months in America at a residential treatment facility about 5 years ago, where again, it was treating for my anorexia, which was very good at the time. And I made a lot of improvements mentally and physically then. However, I think things slowly slipped back, obviously, moving back to Perth, and then COVID and the isolation of that, I don't think helped. And in the last year or so, being back in Perth here, I wasn't doing very well physically or mentally. And I was prolonging going into treatment. I think also I was in a very tough position where I know others are in this position too, where my body weight, unfortunately, was too low for me to be accepted into any community treatment. So I couldn't access psychology services, dietitian services, or any outpatient things because of my BMI was too low. So I was kind of trying to do it by myself before I could access any other treatment. And also the only option for me would have been to go into a public hospital where you basically sit in a bed all day and get fed, which was not ideal. So it came to it where I ended up having to go through the private route, which was a private hospital where I went here in Perth. And then I was there for 10 weeks in the end. And it was a combination of therapy and obviously I had a nasogastric tube during the time, which helped with the restoration that my body needed, which was not pleasant. So having that in, and that would just go at nighttime, which gave me kind of the extra medicine, they called it, so to speak, that my body needed, as well as obviously eating three meals and three snacks throughout the day. Yeah, it was really, really hard. I'm not going to pretend it wasn't, like mentally and physically, all the changes that went through. But it was definitely obviously needed and something that I'm grateful that I did, and I had such good support there. My whole brain obviously works at a different level now. I never realized, I think, prior how much when your brain is malnourished that you just don't think properly and you don't make rational thoughts. I had no energy to do anything prior. I had no enjoyment for much in life. Everything was a bit of an effort. But once I obviously got a bit more weight restored, more energy, and my body was working better, just everything just started to be better. And I've just had got so much more energy now, and my brain has more capacity for other things and other people. So, yeah, I mean, not every day now is easy, but it's definitely a billion times better than it used to be. And I can see all the benefits of being in a healthier body now. So it's definitely worth it. Yeah.
That's a very long story, but it's also really inspirational.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of people going through similar things. Unfortunately, it's very widespread issue, and not just anorexia, a whole variety of eating disorder issues and just body image issues in society these days, which sometimes get brushed under the rug. And unfortunately, I think people need to speak about it more so that there's not so much stigma around it and people aren't so embarrassed, I think, because I know, you know, some people sometimes think, oh, I just eat, but it's not all about the food. It's the control, there's a mental aspect to it, and there's a lot of deep-rooted things that contribute to those issues. So, yeah, I think people need to speak up more, and it really helps. And unfortunately, there's not enough beds and not enough funding to help people. There was only 10 beds at the private hospital I was at. That's in the whole of Perth. So yikes. 10 beds for the whole of Perth where you can go and not just sit in a public hospital is not enough. So, yeah.
That's really terrible. What did you do to overcome the disease?
Well, for me, I think it was a lot of obviously engaging in the program at the hospital. So every day we had different therapy sessions, which would focus on different things. Like we did cognitive behavioral therapy. You learn how to like reframe your thoughts, and you just have to give full control away and give your control to the dietitians and just trust them, I guess, which was kind of hard initially because for so long my cognitions were telling me, you know, less, eating less is best. This is how I will be. That was my identity. I didn't really know much else apart from that. And I was, for me, I just knew myself in a small body, and I felt, it sounds sad to say, but I felt that was what I was good at, being small, and that was who I was. And I didn't know much else apart from that. And I guess I was petrified that changing behaviors and changing everything and what that would mean, and then who was Sarah underneath my eating disorder, which I didn't really know myself. So I guess just giving up full control and trusting the professionals. Every day you just have to put in the effort to make sure that you're eating enough and you're nourishing your body, because it needs energy and it needs fuel to live. And I know I'm a much better person when I'm eating enough, and I'm in a better body.
That's good.
A healthier body.
I'm very pleased to hear that, because in fact, I remember you making a post and put on social media saying that we're going to release yourself to the hospital.
Yeah, because when I was in treatment prior, I remember I still think I was holding on to something. I just kind of still wanted to keep a little bit of my eating disorder just for safety or something. And even when I left, when I was in treatment in America, I felt like there was still something that was not quite healed, and there was something that I just wanted to hold on to. And I think that's obviously what was still there and made me slip back. So I think just giving up full control and just, I mean, it's bloody tiring having an eating disorder. It's exhausting, and you don't really realize until you're out of it how tiring and how crap you felt. And you need to make all the changes and not just half the changes, because any little bit of the eating disorder that remains behind is just going to find its way to get bigger. And I don't want any more of that in my life. And I'm sick of it. And I just need to, move forward.
That's very brave of you. and very courageous.
It also definitely helped having a lot of support in the outside. Like my mum would visit every day. Basically, I had friends that would visit, and I was very honest and open with everyone there and outside. So no one knew. I wasn't hiding where I was. I wasn't hiding why I was in hospital. Work knew. Everyone knew. So it, that also made it, I guess, somewhat easier. And because everyone knew where I wasn't embarrassed, I think, coming out of hospital and looking very different. I mean, obviously, it's confronting at times when I, now that I've seen people and they're like, oh, you look a bit different. Where have you been? So sometimes that's a bit hard. But at the end of the day, I know if people say, oh, you look healthy, or you look better, I know they're just trying to compliment me. But sometimes the voice inside can be a bit like, oh, they think I'm fat. But no, F word, I'm not fat. So it's just what I need to shut up that voice.
Thank God. Yeah, but also you don't look fat to me.
Thank you, Michael.
You look a lot healthier.
Thank you.
The last time I saw you, I also remember sending you a couple of things while you were in hospital.
Yeah, you kindly sent me. Well, before I went in, you sent me a purple monkey, and then when I was in there, you sent me another purple matching lion, which was very cute.
Yeah,
and some flowers, which were very nice flowers as well. So thank you for that. It means a lot.
That was the best I could do, but I wish I could have done more.
That's okay. You did all you could, and it was very appreciated.
That's all right. In what ways did the disease impact your life?
Well, for example, every day was an effort. Every day, everything was tiring. I struggled to concentrate at work. I didn't get enjoyment out of anything. My brain was 24/7 thinking about food and my body, and I would be constantly planning what I would be eating, what I should be eating. No matter what I ate, I would think it was too much or it was either not enough. Every time I walked past people in the street, I would think they were staring at me, staring at my body. I would never want to wear clothes that showed any part of my body because I was so embarrassed. I very much wanted to keep myself away from friends and family because I was embarrassed of my body. I didn't want people to worry or make comments. I had no enjoyment out of eating out. I found it terrifying, and it was it was scary, and that's not a normal thing. You know, if you want to catch up with a friend and they say go out for a meal, that should be something that I should be excited for and look forward to and enjoy. But it was more of a torture, which is sad. Family times, Christmas times, all those things when food is involved, I felt like I was always the annoying one because my family would try to cater towards me and I would want to hide the fact that I didn't want to eat what they were having. And there was just so many little things that every part of your day is just impacted and everything's exhausting, and I feel like a burden to others. And I just also, there were a lot of medical things that were going on. For example, I had really low bone density. I didn't get my period for a long time. My hair was thinning. I was always cold. I had bad circulation, and all those little things, when you're in the thick of it, you don't realize why they are there, and you don't realize that you can be different. You just think that's why you're like that. There wasn't anything good about it. So I'm very glad that I have got over the hard part of the weight gain and mentally worked on a lot of things. But I do know that I still need to be conscious every day and not let myself slip back, because I know it would be easy to do so, but I don't want the easy way out.
Yeah, of course. I'm really proud of you for how far you've come.
Thank you, Michael.
You've done very well.
And there were a lot of girls I was in there with who have had very tough upbringings and things that going on for them in their lives. And I feel like it was also inspiring to see them and what they've overcome and how far everyone, all of the people I was there with, came across the journey. It was very nice to see that. And I made some very good friends who I have a special bond with. So, yeah, there were positive aspects of my journey for sure. Mm.
Being healthy is just about maintaining your physique and just eating healthy, keeping everything in balance.
Yeah, that's right. I think a healthy, so to speak, diet is having all foods. Nothing should be cut out. And I know for myself, what's healthy for me is sometimes might be not what's healthy for other people. So I know for me, I need to eat, you know, so to speak, junk food regularly, because that teaches my brain that it's okay to eat. Because if I don't include it in my diet, then it becomes an unallowed food, and that then my brain develops rules. So everyone's brain, you know, you just, I think when things become not allowed in your brain, that's a sign that something's maybe not right. And I think, you know, you only live once, may as well enjoy it. And if your body's functioning well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's true. And also, a man telling a woman that she's fat is one of the worst things a man could do.
Yeah, I hope no men tell their women that they are fat, because that's not nice, and people's body's shape does not define a person.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, my next question is, what is your field of work, and is your journey the motivation behind your chosen career path?
Well, that's a very good question, Michael. So currently I'm a physiotherapist at a mental health hospital, and I've been a physio for 10 years now, but I'm also back at university doing my Masters of Counselling, and that's definitely, I think, being led by my own experience with my eating disorder. I would definitely like to transition into that field of work, whether it's peer support, mentoring with people with eating disorders, even younger children. I really, really enjoy the company and energy of young kids. You know, you go to the gym, for example, to work out your body. So why don't you go to, you know, a counselor or a therapist to work out, you know, your brain, to just, it's basically just a another thing of health. So something like that is what I really would like to get into. And I think being able to share my own story with others, or not necessarily my story, but even my learnings from my treatment and what I see with other people around me, I'd love to be able to help others on the mental aspect of things, and somehow maybe combining that with physio and exercise, because at work currently at the hospital I work at, I see a lot of benefits in people's mental state when they exercise. But there's a fine line with eating disorders and anorexia and exercise, because that can become an unhealthy behavior where people over-exercise. That type of thing is something I'd love to get into.
That's really impressive. Keep up the great work. And how long will it take for you to finish that degree?
I'll be finished this time next year.
Nice. That's really impressive. What do you think we can do to spread further awareness of anorexia?
I mean, I just think everyone should be aware that no matter what little eating disorder behavior or little eating disorder cognition you think you might have, don't think you're not sick enough. That is a very common thing, unfortunately, that people think they're not sick enough, they don't deserve treatment, they don't deserve hospital. And I don't think that's helped by the funding and the very limited access there is to treatment. If you speak up for yourself and say, you know, literally be honest with all your health professionals about what cognitions you have, what behaviors you might have, to get the treatment you need, and the earlier as possible, I think, because the longer you have these unhealthy thought patterns, the more they persist and become ingrained in your brain. And in terms of spreading awareness, I think health professionals and all GPs really need some training in it. Also just general communication with people with eating disorders, saying, oh, you're better now if you've gained some weight, because that's not a sign of the illness. You know, you can gain weight and still mentally be unwell. Yeah, I think there's a lot of training that could be done on a general scale.
Really good advice. I hope that will be very helpful for everybody. On a more personal side, shall we share some memories of the time we spent in Sydney and Perth?
Sure, you can start that if you want.
I remember the day that we met back in Sydney. We first got in contact in August last year through email. Then we started talking on Messenger, and then we exchanged numbers, and then you told me that you were coming to Sydney for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to book myself a room in the same hotel as you, so I wouldn't have to travel up and down more times than I needed to. And I really enjoyed every moment with you.
Yeah, that was fun. Then we had a nice dinner, and you kindly gave me a box of Yowie toys.
Yep, because you told me that you're actually a fan of those yourself.
Yeah, I have been since I was little.
I gave you one of their rarest wands.
Yeah, you did. Very kind of you.
Their now rarest one is the giraffe calf.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yep, but that one's even harder to get, because getting that one is 1 in 500.
Oh, okay. Wow.
When I took you to dinner in Sydney, I actually wanted to take you to the meat and wine company, but you told me that you're not big on meat, so I chose Cirrus.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's something else too that's a lot easier for me now is eating out. I used to find that quite anxiety provoking and overwhelming. But that's something else which I've noticed a big difference. So my brain's a lot more carefree.
Yeah. And then we spend half the day the following day in around Darling Harbour.
We did, didn't we?
That was also fun.
Yep, it was fun.
And then months later, I booked a flight to Perth.
It was just before I was going into hospital, but I didn't know when you booked that I was going to go in.
Yeah, of course. You weren't feeling the best around the time.
No, that wasn't my best period of time, and I definitely was not mentally or physically that well. So I think, that was probably the wrong time, but that's okay. I got the treatment I needed and I still saw you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you liked Perth, didn't you?
Yeah, love it there.
And you made some other friends here?
5 new friends.
Cool.
Well, 6, counting you.
Yeah.
Loved Rottnest Island. I also loved visiting the Perth Zoo.
Yeah, Perth is good. A lot of people don't make the effort to come here because it's so far away, but it's very nice. You're here when it was very warm too. It's cold now.
Yeah. And so it's far away, so what?
Yeah.
It's still beautiful and a great place to raise a family.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah.
And do you have any other memories?
I think you've said them all. It was, it was good fun. I think we went out for breakfast after yoga too, which was good. And I think, you came and visited my granny, which was quite funny.
Yeah, I came with you.
sorry. It was her birthday. You kindly came. Yeah.
I stayed in Vibe Subiaco.
And would you recommend that?
Oh, yes. I really enjoyed staying there. The area was just very easy to navigate.
Yeah, I remember you were quite nervous about it, but I tried to reassure you that you would be fine, and you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no reason to be nervous anymore about it.
No, that's right. A new place is sometimes scary, but everything's going to be scary, but you did a very good job, and I'm glad you had a good time.
I certainly did, and look forward to coming back in August.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, I've now reached the end of my questions. Now we can move on to the special segment known as Ask Mr. A Plusk, where you can ask me any questions you want, as I'm an open book. So let's do it.
Okay. All right, Michael. If you could be in any movie, that's currently already out, like a movie that's already created, and what character would you be in a movie that's already out?
I'm actually more of a television guy than I am into films.
Well, how about
a
television character?
Oh, yeah. With Parks and Rec, I would definitely play Ron Swanson.
You'd be good at that.
Because he's very deadpan and because he has a hatred of government.
Yeah, very similar to you.
He loves meat. He loves woodwork.
Oh, yeah. I see the similarities. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well done. Good choice. Yeah.
Thanks. In terms of films, I would definitely love to play villainous characters.
You like that, don't you? I heard your podcast episode with Natalie Bathingthwaite, and you said that when you're trying to get through moments, you play the villain. I thought that was good.
Yep. One of my favourite villains is that wolf from Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yes, I remember. You can personate him too, don't you? You do a little voice like him. Do you want to have a go now?
Yes, I would. Sorry to crash the party with your past lives or your past deaths, as I like to call them. I was there to witness all of them, each frivolous end. But you didn't even notice me because Puss in Boots laughs in the face of death, right? But you're not laughing now.
Very good. Very, very good. You're very good at impersonating people and things like that.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions?
How's your acting going now? Like, what do you have any things coming up for you? Or
the director of Austin, which is still happening in the second half of this year, which is coming up just around the corner, he said to me that I would benefit a lot more being tutored on set or with a professional actress one-on-one.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But the talent's definitely there, so, and you're a hard worker, so it'll come.
Thank you. Well, Austin is still definitely happening in the second half of this year, but the reason why there hasn't been a lot of other acting offers coming in is because it's either because of a writing, how long the writing is taking, and I don't have enough footage for a show reel.
It'll come. Keep your hopes up. I'm sure it will.
But I can't wait to go to the UK in the end of the year.
Yeah, they'll be very good for you. Very exciting.
And hopefully I'll find a woman there.
Yeah, lovely British woman.
Oh, yeah, because I have an attraction to those.
I know you do.
To them.
Well, got my fingers crossed for you.
Thanks, Sarah. Now then, any other questions?
No, I think I've asked you and you've answered very well, so that's all. Thanks.
Well, Sarah, thanks. Thank you so much for joining me on today's podcast. I really appreciate it. And thank you for sharing such a personal story. I'm really glad that you're better and stronger than you were before. And I also want you to know that I admire you greatly.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be on here, and hopefully my story can help others. So thebutterfly.org.au, if you click on the Get Support part, there's a Lifeline phone number to call, and also they have an online chat where they have 24/7 support for people experiencing body image issues and eating disorder behaviours. Also, if anyone wants to talk to me about anything, I can put my Instagram link down in the bottom of the podcast episode. I'd love to be able to talk to anyone, help anyone with anything, answer questions. But yeah, just reach out and get help as soon as possible. It's the main, most important thing I can tell people.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.